Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight is writer, journalist, media historian, Jennifer Keeshan Armstrong, and we're talking about her book, Pop Star Goddesses, and How to Tap into Their Energies to Invoke Your Best Self. Jennifer, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Thank you for having me.
There's got to be a story behind how you got to do this book.
Oh, yeah. It actually is one of my favorite stories because sometimes other ones are more straightforward. But and it's a little off the beaten path for me. I usually write about
media. You write about media history. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe a little more, maybe movies. But, you know, this was music. I love pop music. I mean, there's no getting around that.
Yep.
And actually was always kind of happy that I didn't end up covering it full time because I always thought that, you know, it kind of, I don't want to say ruins, but it changes your perception of something that you love when you're constantly having to cover it.
Like if you get too close to it and learn too much about them, then you're not going to like them.
And you're always like, thinking business-wise, you're on the job suddenly when you're consuming that media instead of just enjoying it. Whereas I have been lucky to be able to kind of maintain my real like love and enthusiasm for pop music and not have to apologize for my taste in it or anything else, which I really love. And, you know, but this was kind of translating that in a lot of ways. And so I've always loved, pop music in particular, pop music in general, and probably more like women, female pop stars in particular.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, an obsession of mine, really, since I was into Debbie Gibson as a kid.
Are you? I never thought you were that old. I remember.
I am.
Debbie Gibson was great.
Yes. She was like kind of my first. So,
okay.
You know, and I like remember growing up with her and just she sort of proved to me, you know, she wrote her own songs and I felt like, oh, I could do that, you know, and I wanted to learn to play the guitar because she could play the guitar and just really, really loved her. And
did you have a Debbie Gibson poster on your wall as a kid?
Oh, completely. Completely. I was definitely like a poster kid in general and like wanted to do, you know, like I figured out like what makeup she wore and what, you know, all of that stuff. So that she had like a line of makeup. I remember this with like Revlon or somebody. And there was a lipstick called Rock and Rose lipstick. That is how much I remember this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that was like, that's a great example of kind of the first time I had this feeling about a female pop star where it was like, you can see how it was obviously the music that got me there. And I've honestly been listening to her again recently and was like, oh, these are actually really, like, she was good.
She was good.
Genuinely.
She was good.
Up,
absolutely.
You know? And so, like, it wasn't just the music, though. It was, like, that I wanted to be her. And kind of, you know.
But that's, I would think that that's the same effect on a lot of young women with these
exactly.
Pop star goddesses is that they become, like, I don't know if the role model is a correct thing, but aspirational model.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. I like that better because role model has some baggage with it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're supposed to be sort of perfect people. And actually, you know, they're not. And they're real people. And, you know, but this kind of model of how we deal with these female pop stars in particular was what ultimately inspired this book. I was sort of thinking it was mostly like, I was in between kind of books that, you know, my quote real books, you know what I mean? Like the book.
This is a real book.
It is.
And I hate to say this, Jennifer, but this is more fun than the Seinfeld book.
Well, I mean, it's just a different kind of fun, right?
And it's like, actually a beautiful book too.
It's gorgeous. It's easy. Like you can read it. You can read parts of it and not the whole thing. You can pick out what you want to read. You can read it out of order. It's supposed to just be fun. And so my thinking was like, you know, even right now, like I'm sitting at my desk and, you know, people always give me like pop culture related gifts. And so I have a candle that kind of looks like a prayer candle, but it has a Britney Spears picture on it. And it says work, bitch.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's talk about Britney for a second.
Yeah.
What a train wreck that has become.
I mean,
and that's part of the pop star goddess thing that you talk about is it's not their positive things. It's the bad things that happen too.
Exactly.
Are important.
That's And that was sort of what I was even kind of getting to before is that, you know, there, what I I actually didn't totally realize this was going to be such a theme in the book until I started writing it. But, you know, there are 35 pop star goddesses in this book. And so, you know, I had to research and write an essay about each one of them. And I did it over and over, and you start to see patterns. And the thing that really struck me was, in the end, what it turned out to be is that, you know, I name each of them a goddess of something. And so, for instance, Britney Spears is the goddess of resilience. And so I started to realize, like, oh, actually the goddess qualities that I'm ascribing to them often almost always come from the worst thing that at least publicly happened to them. You know, we don't know, like, something else could have happened to them in their private lives that we don't know about, but their public kind of arcs, which is a very goddess-like thing, right? That there's a story that we tell about them that may or may not be totally true.
But they're like Greek myths.
But they're like Greek myths. And so that and the things that we end up admiring the most about them are often the result of kind of their downfall or yeah. some of the worst things that have happened to them publicly. And I find that really inspiring. It's better than saying, like, you have to be like this perfect person. It's like, no, she's been through something.
Well, Brittany is a good example of it. I mean, she's been through the ringer, and now she's coming out the other side. She's getting married.
Yes. I was happy to see. I was like thinking about this morning. I was like, oh, it's good that we're talking about this today. That makes me particularly happy to finally see a story in the news about Britney that is just nice. You know, that's just, here's her ring. She's happy. Like, we haven't had a Britney Spears story like that in a really long time. And I mean, just like it really proves what I said about her in this book in terms of her being resilient. Like, I always say, like, it's a miracle she honestly survived all of this, period. And all the things she went through were much worse than we had even realized just a few years ago.
Right.
And just, you know, she has really kind of, it's just amazing because we lose so many people, either really lose them, you know, people often die young as musicians who have difficulties, or, you know, they drop out, they, you know, we don't get to see what they're doing anymore. And she has just, you know, hung in there and really, I mean, the thing I always say about Britney now is, like, if anyone ever makes fun of her, I'm always like, no, we have to leave her alone for the rest of time. Like, she gets to do whatever she wants from now on. And we have to be like, congratulations, Britney, please do whatever you want, because she has earned the right given what we've put her through.
Jennifer, your energy level talking about this is amazing. I just want to say that,
Brittany,
having interviewed you several times, your energy level talking about Britney is like sky high.
Brittany is big in my life. She's really, and she, I talked about this in the introduction, but it's really like her, and I'd say Beyonce, that were my inspirations for this book. You know, there's 35 goddesses because I wanted to cover a lot of ground,
and you know,
some of the others are not as big for me.
No, you know? And when we're going to talk about that, about some of the other ones, I was surprised was in here, but I want, for the benefit of the audience, I want to say, each section, each goddess has got all the stuff in it. You have these incredible short bios. I thought those were amazing. I thought they were going to just be throwaway stuff, but actually they were fascinating reading.
I really worked hard and didn't want it to just be like a Wikipedia entry. And I mean, at times I honestly regretted this, you know, in the moment. I would just be like, oh my God, why did I start doing this? Because there's so much, you could write a book about each one of these women. And so there was so much to sort of through. And I had to learn about some of them, like I said, because I didn't know everything about every single one of these 35 women.
Well, you have the bios, you have the whole section, not just who the ancient goddess associated, their sisters, the goddess sisters, but a whole biography of the ancient goddess. Then you have an invoke section, how to channel their energy, journal riffs, which was very teeny, the idea that you would be writing in your journal about these. And I love that section. And then power songs. So this is really, it's really, it's like directions on building a shrine. That's what this book
is. It's a lot. And it really was inspired by, there are books that are about actual goddess worship. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there are people who really do this as a practice. And I had a few of those books, and that was really the inspiration, was sort of like the combination of my love for these women and the ways that we think about them. It for with like these books, I was reading one of these books and suddenly went like, oh, it'd be so cute if you could, you know, it's always like, oh, that'd be cute. And then you go to do the work and you're like, oh, that's a lot. But, you know, that's the, I really based it on some of these books. That's what they would have for an actual goddess. It would be like Artemis. And then it would be like her whole story, how you can evoke her in your life, you know, ways, you know, sometimes they would even have things like crystals.
I think this is
not the other thing.
I think this is a piece of performance art on your part.
Thank you.
Now, we should mention, who did the illustrations?
Oh, yes. This is so cool. So there's a line of candles on Etsy. That's how we found our artist. And the line of candles is called Flaming Idols.
Okay.
And it's super cool because it, you know, they already existed, but in and of themselves. But when we were looking for artists, like, we ran across this, and the Flaming Idols is basically, so I'm actually looking at the page, and I can tell you the description is altar candles featuring inspiring figures of the LGBTQ community. So they have, you know, Dolly Parton and Lizzo and Bowie and, you know, all these different people, but you might be able to guess that there was actually a lot of overlap between people that the LGBTQ community idolizes and pop star goddesses. So, you know, I have the Madonna one and the Beyonce one on my desk right now. So that was a really nice overlap. They reconceived, you know, they were, these illustrations were specifically conceived for the book because we wanted full body. We chose carefully, like, the look that we wanted. The each of them is a look that they've actually worn in real life, but we kind of picked goddessy looking and iconic looks for them. So they, it was specifically for the book, but there was this really nice overlap between this candle line and the book, which is really cool. And the book looks gorgeous.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight is writer, journalist, and media historian Jennifer Keeshan Armstrong. And we're talking about her book, Pop Star Goddesses, and how to tap into their energies to invoke your best self. Now, early on, you have Cher and Madonna. Now, I guess one of the first things I want to ask you is, did you have trouble coming up with a short list? In other words, are there pop stars left off of here that you really sort of wanted to include?
Definitely. And I mean, 35 was still a ton, but I was like, we have to stop at some point. So there were a couple things, one of which is, it's really important to know that I actually just decided we're starting in the 90s. We're starting in the 90s up until around the time that I was doing this book, which again is already like a couple of years ago that I was.
Okay, because that explains why a lot of what I would call pop star goddesses to me are not in this book. So people like Debbie Harry, Chrissy Hynde,
right.
Joan Jett.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes
like
sense.
Pop was more, I know we like go the field a little bit occasionally, and I wanted to have some surprises in there, but like
you do.
I really also tried to like mostly focus on pop. Do you know what I mean? Like, so those are very rock, and I can see like a whole book that's just rock star goddesses. But so just because the ways that I had to like narrow things down, and then, so it was really supposed to be 90s until fairly recently. So then like even that in the last couple of years, there have been a couple women who I was like, oh, she would have told, you know, Lizzo, Billie
Eilish,
yeah, people like that would have absolutely been in it. But like, it's funny because even somebody like Dua Lipa, I think she would make it now, but like if she existed and she was in our, we knew who she was, but it's funny how sometimes they don't quite get to pop star goddesshood right away. It's not like an instant
thing. That makes perfect sense to me. You have to earn the pop star goddess.
You have to earn that a little bit. You have to, I really was.
Yeah, I'm bummed that Billie Eilish isn't in it.
I mean, yeah, she just like literally didn't exist. I mean, yeah. She existed. But you know,
that's sort of scary.
She was a normal teenager.
So wait a minute, is there a second volume that's going to be on the horizon?
If a lot more people buy this, perhaps.
Okay, buy this, because I want to see Billie Eilish. And I want to see Lizzo, too. I want to see Lizzo.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, even the essays themselves, it's like we were just talking about Britney, and obviously a ton has happened with Britney just this year. that, you know, the book came out last year, so obviously it's not in there. So a lot changes quickly, and I kind of knew that was going to be true and that we were taking some chances. But, yeah, so it had to be pop. They have to also, like, I wanted each one to really represent something. And while some of them are close, you know, I tried to, there were times when I had to make choices where it was like, okay, this person clearly represents something different that isn't in this book yet, so I'm picking her. You know what I mean? So each of them had to represent something and bring something unique to the book.
Got it.
I made choices based on that were difficult.
Well, did you also make choices to really include, I mean, country music is included in this.
Yeah, I mean, I just like some country. I think that was
okay. I'm going to talk about that. There are people that obviously were going to be in this book,
exactly.
like Cher and Madonna, and obviously Beyonce. Okay, I totally get that. By the way, right. Did you watch the VMAs last night?
I actually did not,
because I haven't seen that. I didn't. You know. But on the news tonight was something about Madonna and her appearance, and they showed a still, and I didn't even recognize her.
Yeah, I mean, you know. She always is changing. She's always changing. It's been her thing her whole career, and that's still true.
Now, there are a list of goddesses that I was really happy. I won't say surprised, because you're an interesting person, and I obviously would include them. But let's talk about each one in turn that I was really happy you included and that I didn't expect was going to be in this book. Alicia Keys.
Yeah, to be honest, there was a heavy influence of the television show The Voice on this book. I really like The Voice. I can't help it. I love when, like, beautiful young people sing for me on television. It's so great. And so, she was on the season when I was writing the proposal, and she's so goddessy. Like, it's hard to even, she's just very, like, spiritual earth mother. I also always loved her since I actually have a genuine memory of the first time I ever saw her on MTV.
When was that? Talk to me about that.
Probably 2001. I feel like it was right before I moved to New York and right before 9/11, if I'm getting this right. And when Fallen came out, her big hit single, and I, like, she's gorgeous, and I can actually, like, remember her big, gorgeous face on the TV, you know, like that, those close-ups of how beautiful she was, and she's just playing the piano and singing, and I just thought she was so cool. And I saw her play it at Radio City, like, right after I moved to New York City. So, like, she's always been on my radar, and she has such a goddess energy in particular. Like, she's such a kind of earth mother. And, you know, she did the no makeup thing.
Yep.
So I really liked that about her.
Janelle Monáe.
Janelle, she was definitely, like, having her moment right around the time that I was conceiving this too. You know, when she
I love her. First of all, I like her whole shtick. I like the whole thing about Janelle.
Exactly, and she's another that I'm sort of proud to say that I was kind of in on before everybody else.
Oh, everybody says that. Everybody goes, yeah.
Back when, you know, she was wearing the tuxedos all of that stuff, and I saw her play at a park in Brooklyn. And so I've always liked her, but that last album was just, like, to me, I feel like I wouldn't have picked her as a goddess until that last album, which was just, like, another level of really representing something. And that's when she came out as pansexual and just was really coming into her own in terms of what she wanted to say and what she represented.
MIA. I love MIA's music.
That's really, I know that one is, like, a left field choice. That was, she was one of my couple, like, Carla Bruni was another of these.
Well, I want to talk about Carla Bruni, because that was the one that most surprised me.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. But there were a couple, I actually had a few slots that were just, like, wild card slots, essentially. Like, okay, Christina Aguilera is definitely going in. There's no getting around it. But, you know, this slot is for MIA. And I thought, like, what I had just watched the documentary about her, which I really, really recommend. About her political activism. And she's so just interesting. She's obviously, you know, kind of a little more international than most of my other choices. And it just makes really interesting music, but also is so political. And I like the idea of, like, everybody's, you know, it's not unusual to be a little bit political these days. But, like, she's out there, and I feel like a lot of us might not even know if we agree with everything she says all the time. But that, to me, I just thought, like, she's so interesting. She's so out there. Her music is fascinating. And yeah, I just wanted to have that, like, not just a little political, not just like, hey, I was on the Democratic National Convention once, but like super, super, she is very outspoken.
What about,
and I thought that was interesting.
We got to talk about more. We're going to run out of time. Sia.
Sia, I really loved that choice because I felt like it was, she almost had to be there in retrospect because I liked how she's like the anti-pop star.
Yeah, because you can't even see her face.
Right. She specifically made choices to not be like this, to not be like all the other pop stars. She doesn't, what she represents in the end is like not represent, you know, is not having to put herself out there, not making it about her body or her face or her look. I mean, it is about her look to some extent, which is ironic, but just like making this very interesting choice and also having such clear boundaries, like I'm not going to end up like Britney Spears, you know, like Beyonce, I'm not going to have you in my personal life. I can't let that happen. Cause she had actually struggled with addiction in the past.
Right.
Trying to be a pop star. And so I just thought that was so interesting, especially as a counterpoint to all of these other women.
Now let's talk about Carla Bruni, because I think of all of them, I went, what?
I love Carla Bruni.
Well, for people who don't even know who she is, explain who she is.
Yeah, she's the former First Lady of France and a pop star. Another international pick. I wanted a few international picks. I have been a fan of hers for a long time. And I just think she's so cool. I mean, she's like quintessential French lady cool, right?
Yep.
And I mean, I saw her play in New York a couple years ago, and it was just like when she did all the covers. She did an album of covers. And so it's all like these jazzy Carla Bruni style, you know, reimaginings of like Depeche Mode, you know, like of just like.
See, I haven't even heard her. I mean, I knew who she is, but I mean, I've never even. So is she good?
Check her out.
Is she good?
Great. That's the thing is like, I mean, I remember when I learned this, like a friend of mine who travels internationally as an opera singer was like, oh, no, you will love her. You have to go. When I started playing guitar, she's like, she is such a. You know, she is so cool. She plays the guitar amazingly. It's very French. I speak a little French. She is definitely beyond me in terms of my comprehension level, but I can pick some of it out. And then sometimes she sings in English, too. So she did this great album a few years ago that was all covers. So she does, like, a hilariously chill, jazzy version of, like, Highway to Hell.
No.
Yeah, completely. You have to go check it out. But she's so effortlessly cool, and she's good. And she's a songwriter, and it really is her first love, even though she was also the First Lady of France. And I just love, like, the idea that you could be the First Lady of France and a pop star.
Yeah, that would never happen here. That would never happen here.
I think that, too. I was thinking, I don't know if that's true or not true. Like, you can also totally see it happening here, but it would be a different vibe completely. It wouldn't be like, oh, that's fine. Like,
right, exactly. Half the country would say that it was, like, satanic.
Exactly. And she just went right straight back. It's so amazing. Like, she basically mostly put her music down when she was being First Lady, which I think is probably a good plan. But then the minute they were done, she just like, boom, right back into the studio, right back onto the road. Wears like, you know, she's gorgeous. She used to be a model too. And she dated everyone. She dated like Mick Jagger and a bunch of other people. She's just unbelievably cool, and I wanted to have it. And also, by the way, I wanted a woman who was well over 50 and not Madonna.
Okay.
You know, really to show, like, we know about Madonna, but like, I really wanted to show the way that this woman is just casually chill in a chill way. I'm not saying she, you know, I'm sure she said work done, whatever, but like, really just like, I'm still me, but I'm also a pop star. And I'm over 50, and you can do this, and this is fine. So I really wanted that element in there as well.
We're going to run out of time, and so we can't talk about all the rest of them. I want to talk about, like, Carrie Rae Jepsen and Kacey Musgraves. I do want to pay attention to the fact that Rihanna, and I can't say this on the air, but she's the goddess of not giving an F.
Yeah.
Why?
She's fascinating if you think about her whole trajectory. You know, if you really look at everything that happened to her, it could have gone one way. Like, at one point, she was kind of, unfortunately, just like the poster woman for domestic abuse. You know, everybody was sort of screaming pretty quickly and strangely, you know, about, like, is she being the right kind of domestic violence victim, you know? And, like, she was still struggling with, do I go back to him, do I not? Like, there was a lot of that, and there were a lot of people judging her. And she got to some kind of point in both that and her career where she just figured out, like, I am going to do what I would like to do, and that is okay. She also, like, has, like, much less serious elements of this. Like, she's been shown often by the paparazzi, like, just walking around, you know, in Los Angeles with her wine glass still, like, walking between clubs. You know, like, there's just a lot of that element to her, too, that I love. And she has evolved so much, and she's now, like, one of the most successful in terms of business women. With her lines of clothing and makeup and all of that stuff, which is really incredible. And also just the way that she, like, continues, you know, her fans are desperate for her to do a new album. And she's like, I'll do it when I want to. You know, she'll mock them sometimes gently on Twitter. And she's just busy making money and will do her music when she feels like it. So she really has just sort of had this, like, very surprising trajectory, I think, given what she's been through.
I like how you describe Missy Elliott as the goddess of powerful weirdness.
She's one of my favorites. I loved having her. She was the one that I definitely wanted to have in there too.
Well, you know, I want to say about this book, this book is amazingly revealing about you, because this is a book about how you think about these people and this music.
It totally is. I think I made a joke once that this book is, like, actually, like, the clearest representation of, like, my soul.
Yes,
in a book,
I totally get that. I totally see that. We're completely out of time. We could talk about this book forever because it's great to dish about all these people. my returning guest tonight is writer, journalist, and media historian Jennifer Keeshan Armstrong, who's written a really wonderful, fun, interesting, beautiful book called Pop Star Goddesses and How to Tap Into Their Energies to Invoke Your Best Self. It's a wild book. It's great. Jennifer, thank you so much for writing this book.
Thank you for having me and talking to you about it.
I just need you to do part two. We'll talk about that off mic. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.